can you elaborate for us a little bit on the restrictions that the art industry in the UK is about to face?
Sean, I wish I could. I really wish I could. One of the biggest problems that the UK is facing still is uncertainty. So what that means is, even though we've got the exit agreement, we've gone through the kind of formal exit from the European Union on the 31st of January, we still don't have any kind of trade agreement with the EU going forward. So at the moment we're in what our government is calling the transition period, which Boris Johnson has said will expire at the end of this year, 31st of December. But we've got no idea what environment we're moving into. They've had meetings with, they've offered musicians and other interested groups various sort of meetings or opportunities to come along and hear what their thinking is. And at the moment, both with people within the UK and with Europe and our European partners, they're talking tough. So what they're saying is prepare for no deal. And no deal for musicians, as you can imagine, is pretty catastrophic. So do you want me to tell you what that means?
Yeah, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Right. What they're saying at the moment is you end up traveling into Europe under the same conditions as anyone else coming from a third country. So that means you have to have a visa. Now, visas might cost up to 2,000 euros for each. Well, not necessarily for each visit. You might get an annual visa for 2,000 euros that allows you to travel anywhere within Europe. But then you would also have to have a carnet for moving your instrument around, every instrument that you travel with, which would be around about £400 per instrument. And then you also have to have, we have something called in Europe, the European Health Insurance Card. Everyone in Europe can have that. And it means that when you travel, you don't have to take out health insurance in Europe. So once we're outside the EU, we'll have to have an EU health insurance card. But there are kind of, I mean, that assumes that there's a stable population of musicians in Britain and a stable population of musicians in continental Europe, and they want to, you know, the professional musicians who want to travel across borders and perform, which of course they've always done. But it's not just that. We've actually also got plenty of Europeans in British orchestras and plenty of Brits, and actually also people from around the world who have British citizenship through kind of grandparentage or whatever. So plenty of Australian citizens, I think, certainly plenty of New Zealand citizens who rely on their British parentage to be able to go and work in Europe. And similarly, Europeans who come and work in Britain. Now, apparently, you know, around about 20% musicians in the best known orchestras in Britain come from the EU.
So, and I've had friends myself who are Australians and did the exact same thing as you're describing there, used their British parentage to work in the European Union.
Exactly. A lot of musicians do that. I'm a New Zealander. I've got at least two friends, no, more than that, about four or five friends working in Germany, and they've come in on their British passport. And so they're, you know, also very worried about what this means. I think they've been there so long that they've now taken out citizenship in Germany. But it's a huge disruption, and it's actually a disruption going forward. You know, our conservatoires rely on EU students. They have about 20% of their student body comes from the EU. And our conservatoires are excellent. Of course, students want to come over here and study, but it's a massive hit. You know, if you take away one-fifth of their students because suddenly they're going to be hit with prohibitive fees to come and study in the UK because it's a third country, you know, they'll stop coming. So it's actually not just about what's going to happen with musicians, professional musicians right now, it's about also what's going to happen with the next generation. You know, how are we going to ensure that our orchestras, our young people can grow up and play in orchestras all over Europe. We used to have the European Youth Orchestra based in London. They've moved to the continent. We used to have the European Baroque Orchestra based in London. They've moved to the continent as well. So it's a lose-lose situation, basically. And, you know, it doesn't really matter whether you're talking about a big orchestra or whether you're talking about gigging musicians who want to go and play the odd kind of band gig. And I've had colleagues say, you know, I've got kids, I don't do very much touring anymore, I might just have the odd gig over in Europe that looks interesting, looks like it would be fun to take, but I'm not going to apply for a 2,000 euro visa to go and do one gig. And similarly, young musicians who might want to get their first taste of musical life in Europe, they're not going to be able to afford to do that either.
Have we seen any real response from within industry groups in terms of adaptation? I mean, as you said before, it is very difficult to adapt to a situation when we don't know what that situation's eventually going to be. But have we seen any attempts at transition?
Well, yeah, no, because as you say, there isn't anything to transition to yet. What there is a campaign by the Musicians Union for what they're calling a musician's passport. They want an EU-wide touring visa that would last for at least 2 years, that would be free or very cheap, that would cover everywhere in the EU, and it would mean that you wouldn't have to have carnets for your instruments, and it would cover all the kind of peripheral staff as well. So if you're a gigging musician, it would cover your technicians and your roadies and support staff. So that petition has about 80,000 signatures so far, steadily increasing. So as people kind of become aware of the ramifications of no deal, if that were to come through. So we're really pushing hard, musicians generally are really pushing hard for the British government and also for European negotiators to recognise the importance of the arts as a kind of form of British power, as it were, soft power, that communicates internationally, and it's really important to maintain that within Europe. And there's also, I mean, there are then kind of industry bodies like the Association of British Orchestras that has met with government and has also drawn up a set of proposals. But at the moment, and those proposals are available online if anyone wants to have a look at them. Similarly, the Musicians Union petition is available online, I think, on change.org if anyone wants to find that and sign up. But at the moment, all of that is just sort of positioning themselves and trying to win favour with government. But, you know, it's a relatively small industry, and so there are going to be many other voices shouting a lot louder.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. But Suzanne, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us this morning, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
Good. Okay, thanks, Sean.